Good morning. What do you usually do with your hands when you pray? You put them together like this? Yeah, that's an okay thing to do. And who do we pray to? We pray to God, don't we? Yeah, we might start our prayer like Jesus teaches us, our Father, right? Our Father in heaven. Or we might say a prayer that's just, Dear Jesus. Is that an okay way to say the prayer? Sure, but we remember that when we pray, God tells us we're talking to Him, to God, and God listens to our prayers, and God hears our prayers. So God talks to us in His Word in the Bible, but we get to talk to God when we pray. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That God invites us to pray and tell us, and you can do it yourself when you're alone if you want to. And even if you're not sure what to pray for, God says, the Holy Spirit will fill in the blanks and pray what you're feeling, even if you're not sure how to say it. Let's practice that. Let's say a prayer together right now. And I'll say the words, Dear Jesus, thank you for giving us a good night. Thank you for giving us our moms and dads and grandparents and our friends. Thank you for giving us all the blessings you give to us in the Bible. Thank you for giving us forgiveness. And all of this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, do not look on us with wrath as our sins deserve, but look on us with forgiveness for Jesus' sake, on account of our faith in Him. Look on us as righteous in your sight. Bless us today and all who gather in your name. Amen. Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for the fifth Sunday of Easter, also our Confirmation Sunday, is John 14, the first six verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus says, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the gospel of our Lord. When we teach our children their catechism, we follow, as Luther suggested and wrote, six chief parts: the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the forgiveness of sins as God presents it, especially in Matthew 16, which we call the ministry of the keys, and then the two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And this year, it will be our privilege to confirm 32 young people that we've been working with for two full years, teaching them these things, including one student, Max, who is a quadriplegic, and I've been driving every 6 weeks or so to his group home in Windham to teach him his catechism privately, but he gets confirmed today too. All of these kids were baptized at about the same time, 12 or 13 years ago, and now confirmed in Jesus. And the whole point of all of this is especially to give God glory for all of the things that He does and simply for who He is. And then as we do this, whether learning or teaching or assisting by reviewing the six chief parts at home, we also remember at least three secondary parts to confirmation. The first of those is to be certain that our young people know what Christ has done for them. This is what Jesus is talking about in our text. My Father's house, many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you. I'll come and bring you back to be where I am. We believe that we have a place with Christ forever in heaven. Now, whether you think of that as being like the most lavish hotel room you've ever seen, and that Jesus has pulled down the bed sheet and put a mint on the pillow or not, I don't know if that'll happen, but if that's what you think, I'm not going to kick that over. But we do have a place with God forever in heaven. He wants us there. He's preparing a place for us there. And he will come back, our Savior will come back to bring us there, to be with him forever. The second purpose of catechism is that these young people are instructed to examine themselves and their lives and their hearts, to compare themselves to God's holy commandments, and to see where they have sinned, and to come to repentance, and to receive for their eternal good the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. And thirdly, using all of these lessons and examples that we set for them as ministers, as teachers, as parents, family, friends, we have at least begun the good work of preparing these young people for Christian living now and always, because they are the future of this congregation and of the Holy Christian Church on earth. 2 weeks ago, we had our examinations. We've been doing private examinations at St. Paul's instead of a big public examination ever since 2001. We made a change when the year before I came to St. Paul's in 2000, we had a very large group like we do this year. We have 32, and they had something like that year. And several of the students only received one question. And a couple of them got their question wrong in their examination. And the elders and some of the voters asked, is that really an accurate assessment of their Christian faith for the congregation? And it was Pastor Henning's idea that maybe we should do private examinations, say 20, 25 minutes with the child and the family and a pastor and a visitor, a sort of elder if we want, and ask them all of the questions, each of the students, or as many as we can in that time period. And we've been doing that ever since. And often when I begin by saying, why are you going to heaven? It gives them an opportunity to give a good confession of their understanding of God's grace and Christ's victory. We had some amazing answers this year. Some very simple, some very elaborate and correct. Nobody goes to heaven because they lead a good life. Nobody goes to heaven because they think they're a good person. Nobody goes to heaven by following some path apart from that of Jesus Christ. Nobody goes to heaven because they belong to the right church. Jesus says in our text, no one comes to the Father except through me. What do these words of our Savior teach us as we consider those six parts, chief parts of the catechism? Well, first of all, with the commandments, we know that we cannot keep the Ten Commandments perfectly as God demands. Christ alone has kept the law, has fulfilled the law in our place. And as for our faults and our sins we've committed and the sins we're born with, Christ has covered all of it. In the Creed, we learn the mystery of the triune God, how the Father has loved us and created us and our world for our good, and how he still preserves us to this day, what the Holy Spirit does, creating faith and sustaining it. And we learn about Jesus, God's Son, who chose not to use his power as God fully in his time here on earth, but rather setting it aside so that he could be punished for the sins of mankind, to die also as an acceptable sacrifice for our sin. He rose again to show and prove that his sacrifice was acceptable to God, and he has ascended into his position of authority and power and honor in heaven until he will come again to judge the world and bring us home to heaven. In the Lord's Prayer, Our Savior teaches us a fine, excellent way to pray, being concerned especially with our relationship with God. His holy name, the way he gathers his church, the way that his will is carried out in the world. And we also pray about sin and forgiveness and deliverance from every evil. All of this because God has invited us to pray to him. That anyone with faith in Christ may pray at any time and always, always, always be heard. Now the scripture says that not all who pray have their prayers heard. He doesn't hear the prayers of unbelievers. But what a great kindness it is to know that God does hear our prayers, all who trust in Jesus as the only way to heaven. The part that we call in the Catechism the Ministry of the Keys is about the way that we forgive one another, but that we are commanded to retain, that is, not forgive, the sins of those who do not repent or do not acknowledge that they have sinned. When a sinner claims that he or she has not sinned, it's our responsibility to bring them to repentance through the Word of God, through the fear of condemnation and of even exclusion from the sacrament, so that when someone does repent, we are able and commanded to be just as forgiving as Jesus himself. He commands us that we do this, in fact, in his place here on earth. What you have forgiven on earth, it is forgiven in heaven. He is the truth, and he commands us to proclaim that truth. This leaves us with the sacraments, and we define a sacrament as a sacred act using the Word of God. And it's been instituted or begun by Jesus himself. It brings the forgiveness of sins along with an earthly element as a sign. Now in class, Pastor Ehlhoffen and Pastor Scharf and I and Mr. Kuschel have used an acronym, the word WIFE, W-I-F-E, to teach this truth. The W standing for the Word of God, I instituted by Christ, F, the forgiveness of sins, and E, the earthly element. And if that helps, then that's a fine and good thing. But baptism brings this forgiveness along with the Word of, or rather in the Word of God and the water. And in the Lord's Supper, the same forgiveness is offered and given to us in the bread and wine, which Christ himself proclaims to be his own body and blood, together with the words that he spoke at the Last Supper. And in this miraculous way, he brings us to the Father through himself. We need this forgiveness in our lives, in our hearts. Let's remember the two basic teachings of the Bible, the law and the gospel. We would be terribly mistaken to think that we can get to heaven by keeping the law perfectly. God demands that it be kept perfectly, and we can't do that. We don't do that. It's not possible for us to do that. And we would be equally terribly mistaken ever to think that Christ was some kind of new Moses and that the gospel was nothing but a manual for earning our way into heaven through all of these good deeds the New Testament and the gospel talks about. No, we do not, cannot, must not think that we earn our way to heaven. Wherever the Bible preaches sin, it exposes sin in our lives and shows us how we have fallen short and how much we need a Savior. Every time we sin against one of the commandments, it brings with it guilt. Now, it should also make us feel guilty and feel sad and feel scared about the punishment that's in store for anyone who has sinned. But no matter what our feelings are, in the end, we still have guilt and a debt. That debt is what Jesus has paid. He has handed us his forgiveness, which we receive in faith, and in Jesus' blood, we are as forgiven can be, as if we had never sinned at all. so that on Judgment Day we will stand before God like Adam and Eve before the fall, completely without sin, pure, innocent, with nothing on our account, with no guilt on our heads, with no shame in our hearts. If you remember your own confirmation, mine was almost 50 years ago now. How can that be? I'm not even 50. No, that's not true. But I wore a white gown. Our young people today are going to wear white gowns, a little splash of red in a carnation as a reminder that they wear the robe of Christ's righteousness, and that I think of that splash of red as being spattered with the blood of Christ, the way it was shown in the Old Testament to be spattered with the blood of the Lamb, to show that we are all redeemed by Jesus our Lord. Jesus tells us that he is the way, the only way to heaven. He tells us that he is the truth, the truth. Any other spiritual experiences or ideas have to fall down before the word of truth, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. That's the truth of God, which is the way that God tells us about himself. And Jesus also is the life, the one who gave his life for us, who entered death and came back from it forever, the first fruits of the resurrection, which will be ours as well. But Jesus adds, no one comes to the Father except through me. It's important that we hear this today, when there are churches in the world that have begun to reject Jesus as the only way to heaven, who have begun to say that there must be other valid paths or ways to heaven, but there is no other way apart from Christ. I will not be ashamed to proclaim Jesus my Savior, and I pray that he will not be ashamed to proclaim my name and yours when he calls us home to heaven. He has prepared a place for us, and he will come back to bring you and me safely home forever with him. Amen.